Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat early on this Thursday morning, it's another positive one for basketball fans in Houston. The Rockets got it done late last night, 105-100 winners over the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. That means the Rockets got out of both ends of that tough road back-to-back at Golden State, at Sacramento to open the year. Got it done in wins on both ends. Even the latter game, Chris Paul did not play, as I said in yesterday's podcast, that I suspected they need to let that knee bruise heal up. We'll see if he's available for Saturday's home opener against the Dallas Mavericks here at Toyota Center. That sounds sort of 50-50 at the moment. But even without Chris Paul, even with some obviously tired legs, the Rockets shot below 40% from the field and barely over 26% from three. Yet the Rockets still got it done against a Sacramento team that, between De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and Willie Cauley-Stein, was pretty lively, I thought, and certainly in front of a very energetic arena in Sacramento, as it always is. So it wasn't the prettiest win for the Rockets, but I actually thought it was a fairly mature one as far as wins go, despite the tired legs, despite lacking Chris Paul, all of those things. The Rockets still found a way to get it done, and that's what mature teams do. So celebrated, Houston. The Rockets are 2-0. It's as good a start as you could hope for, particularly considering that one of those wins came at Oracle Arena, and of course, the Rockets fans get to greet the team starting Saturday night at Toyota Center. As far as the game in Sacramento Wednesday night, because this is our typical post-game show, albeit a few hours later, because, well, I typically don't do immediate post-game reaction shows on the West Coast just because of how late it is here in Houston, but basically, two guys, to me, told the story of this one, Clint Capela and James Harden. Whereas the bench was the story in the opener on Tuesday night, I think a lot of the guys that played so well in that game against the Warriors, as you would expect, had a little bit of tired legs, and certainly you had to overextend a few. P.J. Tucker and Luke Bamute each played close to 30 minutes, and keep in mind, P.J. was not even ready for the start of training camp 3 weeks ago because of a sore hamstring. So you really had to stretch a lot of your role players on Tuesday night against the Warriors, particularly because the center spot did not really get to play much against the Warriors, who run that lineup of death with Draymond Green that essentially takes traditional centers out of the mix. But, as I said in the post-game show, the flip side is that all of your centers should have been fairly rested for a game in Sacramento and able to carry the team if the shooting, if some of the athleticism is kind of running on fumes. And largely, that's what happened. Now, James Harden did take over down the stretch. He had 27 points and 9 assists. Positive game for him. I'll get to him in a moment. But I'm going to start with Capela, because Clint Capela was who kept the Rockets afloat through the first three quarters when it would have been lethargic. Overall, for the game, 22 points, 17 rebounds, and he was the one guy, as I said, that seemed fresh, who saw so many tired legs out there. Ryan Anderson was 2 of 7. Trevor Ariza was 0 of 6 and just had 2 points. Eric Gordon was 7 of 23. A lot of your regulars that were so sharp in Sacramento, in Golden State, on Tuesday night, they were not quite there in Sacramento, even though they got a similar quality of looks. Luke Bamute off the bench, 1 of 4, including 0 of 2 from 3. Now, P.J. Tucker did make 2 of his 3 shots, but he certainly was not the scorer, did not seem to have the energy from an offensive perspective that he did when he scored 20 points at Oakland the night before against the Warriors. But in these types of games, when your shooters are a little lagging, this is when you need to be able to lean on guys in the middle and get easier buckets, especially if those guys are fresh, which in the case of Capela, who played just 18 minutes in Oakland because of that Warriors death lineup, and then Nene, who did not play at all because it just wasn't a matchup for him, both of those guys, to me, were the story. Clint, 22 and 17. Nene, 9 points, 4 rebounds on 3 of 5 shooting in his 18 minutes. Clint actually was 10 of 12 from the field, so between the two of them, 13 of 15 from Capela and Nene. Let's add them up. In 46 minutes combined, Clint Capela and Nene, 31 points, 21 rebounds, 13 of 15, or 13 of 17, excuse me, shooting. I think that will do. And Clint, of course, was plus 9 in his 28 minutes. He was a real difference maker. And even though he was going against Willie Cauley-Stein, who had a good game, 21 points, 10 rebounds on 10 of 15 shooting in his own right, where Clint really shines, in my opinion, is against, and one of my Twitter followers, Chris White, pointed this out, was against younger, these rim runners. Because a lot of these younger, athletic rim runners tend to be a little undisciplined. And the strength of Clint Capella, yes, he's a very athletic big man, but partially because of the tutelage of the Rockets and how smart they play, Clint Capella is a rare combination of a very athletic big man who's also very smart. So he's able, especially when you have James Harden or Chris Paul, and I'm not Chris Paul in Sacramento, but you did have James Harden leading the way on the pick and roll, you can really, really hold these undisciplined defenses and these undisciplined bigs, these athletic types, accountable. And that's what I thought Clint did. He relentlessly ran the pick and roll, and beyond that, he moved well without the ball. Whenever the Kings tried to help on one of those Rockets guards, Eric Gordon, to his credit, now he shot 7 of 23, I mentioned that earlier, he did score 25 points, and it kind of reflects a theme from game one, and that even though his three-point stroke wasn't falling, now it was slightly better, Eric was 4 of 13 from 3 in this one after going 0 of 6 against the Warriors, but even with that, that shows you that Eric shot 10 times inside the arc. Unfortunately, he was just 3 of 10, but that shows you that, yes, he's still trying to attack the rim. Maybe he didn't have quite the hops he did in Golden State when we saw some of those crazy dunks, the Clippers' Eric Gordon, as I said after yesterday's show. But what that reflects to you is that Gordon is trying to drive, and so is James. And so when that happens, especially against teams that are young, that may not have the best team defense, you're going to see these bigs slip out, you're going to see them hedge, you're going to see that lack of discipline show, and then if you're Clint Capella, if you are aware, then you have got to flash to the bucket at the right time, and you're going to get some easy, easy looks out of that. And that's what he did. I thought mentally he was on point. Also, his stamina. We always wonder, how is he going to make it to a 30 minutes per game player? He didn't get quite there. He was 28 minutes. But folks, to get that level of production, 22 and 17, and yes, he had some big buckets down the stretch as well. Also made both of his free throws, which is a great thing to always see with Clint. But he played 28 minutes, almost 30, and seemed to be just as strong at the end of the game as he was at the beginning. So I thought this was also a good sign from a stamina perspective with Clint. That's something you always wonder about, is he going to be able to take that next step from being a 20 to 25 minute per game player to a true almost 30 minute per game starter? And it's just one game, it's early, but folks, to me, that was a positive sign. And that was really the story of the first three quarters, because the Rockets shot so poorly that, quite frankly, they needed the interior production, or the Kings, with Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein all playing relatively well. Fox had 14 points, 7 of 15 from the field. Buddy had 19, 8 of 17, including 3 threes. As I said, Willie, 21 and 10. These are quality young players. They're playing at home. The Kings have more stability with George Hill now at the point running things. It's not as bad of a team as you would think. So, yeah, if you don't shoot that well and you're lethargic, which the Rockets were, this would have been a trap game, especially coming off such a huge win in Golden State. But the first three quarters, the interior guys, they were fresh after that game against the Warriors. They didn't have to do that much, and you would like them to take advantage, and that's exactly what they did. And that's what kept the Rockets, really, never with a comfortable lead, but it kept them, I would say, with an average about a 5-point lead, give or take, for the first three quarters, at least kept the Kings at bay. And then, as you would expect, this was a superstar game for James Harden. The overall numbers don't show it, but if you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. Because yes, top line, 27 points, 9 assists. Yeah, it was great. But it was the way James Harden finished, 12 points, including 3 threes in the final 8 minutes of the game. James was very, he didn't seem to have his normal legs. He was 8 of 21 from the field, 4 of 14 from 3, which tells you he's not quite driving as much as you would see him do when he's truly fresh. And, you know, he played 36 high leverage minutes against the Warriors in the opener, and that took a ton out of him. It also, with Chris Paul obviously limited, puts even more on James's plate as a playmaker. And above all of that, it's also just game two of the season. A lot of folks keep going back to me and saying, why is a back-to-back that tough this early in the year? Well, part of it, these guys are still rounding into form. They only went to training camp just over 3 weeks ago. So, no, they're not all at peak conditioning yet, and that's not just a story with the Rockets. You're seeing that all over the NBA. I think we all heard Steve Kerr had some fun. We all saw the fake Klay Thompson, the slightly larger version, at the ring ceremony. And Steve Kerr, the Warriors coach, made a clip yesterday, a quip, excuse me, about that being reflective of their conditioning. Well, folks, it's 3 weeks in. You're not expecting these guys to be running on all cylinders yet. So tired legs, it's not just a back-to-back. It's a back-to-back this early in the year. Yeah, it is tough against a Kings team that has a ton of really youthful legs. So there were a lot of structural disadvantages in this game, and I think that's why James Harden, well, the first three quarters were nothing to write home about. But boy, the fourth quarter, when it mattered, when the Kings got close in the fourth quarter, as they did a couple of times, James Harden took it home. 12 points in the final 8 minutes. Three threes. It just seemed like that when it was winning time, James got it done. He found a way to get those looks. He found a way to put them down, even though I believe he started like 1 of 10 from 3 and ended up 4 of 14. When it really mattered, James found a way to get it done, and that's what MVPs do. You see that all the time if you follow the likes of LeBron James and some of these more veteran stars. No, they don't bring it to 100% over every game of 82, because A, that's not really possible, and B, even if it somehow is, you're going to wear down by the postseason. You have to pick your spots. And this was a game in which the Rockets, they leaned on their interior guys for the first three quarters of the game, as I and many others predicted they would before the game, given the tired legs, given the fact that the centers, given the back-to-back, and the fact that the centers did not play that much on the front end. But when it mattered, that's when you need your superstars to step up. And certainly James Harden did that Wednesday night. And that's why the Rockets got the win in Sacramento. And I would be pretty pleased with it because, again, that's as close to a schedule loss as you will ever see. And yet the Rockets survived it, did not have any major injuries in the process. I always think back to, you know, the game after Golden State last year. If you remember, the Rockets had their big win at Golden State in early December. The next game was in Denver. The Rockets admitted before the game to all getting only about 3 or 4 hours of sleep. And that was a game that Trevor Ariza went down with some really bad back spasms. And that's one of the things you worry about on the second end of a back-to-back. Not only do you want to win, you have to overcome all the hurdles from a winning perspective. You also want to get out not injured, because certainly you're a little more prone when your body's not fully rested to potentially tearing, tweaking something. And not only did the Rockets get the win, they also got out healthy. So at this stage of the season, it wasn't pretty. But folks, I wouldn't worry that much, because if the Rockets, If they shoot 26% from the field and there's no Chris Paul, they're not elite. So don't expect it to look pretty. I think we all know, however, that those things are not going to linger. Chris Paul is going to be a member of the basketball team. And by the way, he's one of the top 10 players on the planet. And the Rockets do have a lot of really good three-point shooters. They're not going to shoot 26% from the field. So don't overly worry about this game. Don't worry about the percentages. This was just a classic, you know, bleep happens game, and you can see it coming the moment the schedule came out. It's just one of those, you try and find a way to win it as best you can, and between James Harden and Eric Gordon, your veteran stars, they both scored 50, even though they weren't their most efficient, scored 52 points between them, 27 for James, 25 for Eric. Eric, even though he didn't seem to have quite the hops he did opening night, still kept driving, and that, of course, opened up the lanes a little bit more for the likes of Clint Capella and Nene, who, at least from an efficiency standpoint, were the story for you with 13 of 17 shooting, but a combined 31 points and 21 rebounds in their 46 minutes. So the Rockets, it wasn't pretty, but again, you wouldn't expect it to be on the second night of a back-to-back this early, no Chris Paul. Key thing is, if you're a really good NBA team, you find ways, even when you don't have your A game, and in this game, the Rockets didn't even really have their B game, to get wins. And in my opinion, that's exactly what the Rockets did, even against a Kings team that I thought was pretty lively, because if you have those young legs, which is always kind of a perfect foil for these back-to-back scenarios, the Buddy Hields, De'Aaron Fox, Willie Cauley-Stein, and then you combine them playing at home in the team's home opener, yeah, this could have been dangerous. But the Rockets are a mature team, and, you know, I'm not going to say it's as impressive as winning at Oracle, because that's one of the ultimate statement wins of the year, but I would say it's very impressive in its own right. And as far as the Rockets 2-0 after two games, it's hard for me to envision, at least from a results perspective, anything much better than this. Now, certainly from an injury perspective, you'd like Chris Paul's situation to be a little better, and that's what I'm going to close out this show talking about, is where the Rockets go from here. They did not discuss overly what Chris Paul's status is for Saturday night, the home opener. D'Antoni alluded to the fact that he could miss it. I would say you have about one or two more games. You have the home opener Saturday, you have another game on Monday. But if it's more than that, you may need to look for reinforcements elsewhere. The thing that really, maybe it's one game, so you don't want to overly blow up anything, but Demetrius Jackson, in his 10 minutes, he was that fourth guard I mentioned before. What happens if there's an injury foul trouble, something like that? Well, Demetrius Jackson got the call before Bobby Brown. In his 10 minutes, he was okay from a defensive perspective, and he moved the ball decently. He had 2 assists and 3 rebounds, but 0 of 2 from the field. Actually missed a couple of bunnies in there, no points. And kind of weird to see, because if you watch Demetrius Jackson at Notre Dame, he was a scorer first, and it's sort of weird to see him look so, you know, out of sorts on the offensive end of the floor, at least as a scorer, because that's what you would expect him to do best, and yet still looks at least somewhat passable on the other aspects. Again, it's 10 minutes, tiny sample. I'm not closing the door on him as a viable roster contender or even a fringe rotation player at times, because it's one game, but it certainly was not overly positive. Let's put it that way. The Rockets did not especially fare well in those Demetrius Jackson minutes. So, and of course you wouldn't expect them to. I mean, there's a reason this guy was available for a two-way contract. And by the way, as pointed out by David Weiner, Beam a Thug on Twitter, part of the reason the Rockets may have been willing to give Jackson this look is because the two-way contracts, you can only have them on the big league roster for 45 days. The contracts are structured that the most of the time they need to be at the D league level. And if they're not, you're going to have to give them a real contract. Well, because the developmental league, or now G League, training camps have not started yet, I believe that 45-day clock, basically the games this week do not count against that clock. So that may be part of why the Rockets were willing to gamble on him as opposed to Bobby Brown or anyone else in the absence of Chris Paul. That said, it was not the best performance, and certainly there's a reason why he was available for that G League spot. And so if you're the Rockets, if you're going to be without Chris Paul for anything longer than, say, 2 or 3 games, and I'm not expecting that, but they've got to get this cleared up, then maybe you do look somewhere else around the league, such as a Jameer Nelson, who was recently released, and you have a number of guards, Beno Udrich, that are still available at this point. Because there have been some roster cuts. You do have a few guys that are available and looking for work. And I understand, the reason the Rockets aren't going to spend just to spend, you don't want to put yourself at the luxury tax this year if you can avoid it, because certainly next year is looking like a luxury tax year with the new Chris Paul deal, the extension for Clint Capella, and you don't want to put yourself in position for that repeater tax. So I wouldn't expect the Rockets to go out of their way to get to luxury tax level this year for that reason, and also because they're trying to avoid that, then there's a reason to be at least somewhat flexible, hold some flexibility going into buyout period, which could be as soon as January, certainly by February, and try to be a player on that market. But that said, even if you were to sign someone such as Jameer Nelson, I use him as an example, then certainly there are still ways you can clear a little bit of room at the trade deadline to pursue a buyout candidate if one comes available that you really like. And it's something you're going to have to consider, because if Chris Paul misses more than 2 or 3 games, then a team with this many veterans, a team that is this much about winning now, I don't know if you can really throw Demetrius Jackson or Bobby Brown out there. I thought those minutes, even though the plus-minus was okay, Demetrius was +4 out there, I thought those minutes kind of stuck out like a sore thumb in terms of the lack of consistency running the offense, really, because it's having a ball handler that you can trust to lead that pick and roll. I thought those 10 minutes, in a way, it felt like watching some of the Harden-less minutes against better teams last year. Not saying the Kings are a better team, but that's certainly what it felt like, not having someone you could really trust in those 10 minutes to take the keys. So I don't expect it to be a long-lasting injury for Chris, but it's certainly nothing structural. I'm not worried about it, per se, in terms of the overall arc of his season, because, again, this is not a sprain. We're not dealing with ligaments. This is a bruise. However, keep in mind, this happened last Wednesday. He had almost a week off it. He did not play in the finale Friday against the Spurs in the preseason, and then Tuesday, almost a week later, D'Antoni described it as walking out there on one leg, and we saw him with the sleeve. So I'm guessing if it's been almost a week, then it's not just a little bruise. I mean, he must have got it pretty good, and sometimes these bone bruises can linger. Now, hopefully, he only did one night of action on it. Hopefully, that doesn't set him back too far, and if you give him, you know, say, you already gave him Wednesday night off, and the Rockets have today, Thursday, and Friday off, and maybe you give him Saturday off as well, maybe by next Monday, that'll be basically 12 days since the initial action on Wednesday in Memphis when he bumped knees, and perhaps that's enough to clear it up. But if it isn't, I would consider exterior actions if I'm the Rockets, because, yeah, I didn't see that much to encourage me in Demetrius Jackson minutes. And then even if you do, then his 45-day contract kind of limits him as a real rotation player anyway. So Yeah, it depends on his status. If it's as minor as they say, then it's not a big deal. But if they think that it's going to be a week or more, then yeah, maybe I do start to scan the market, because I think Demetrius didn't do a ton with his minutes on Wednesday night in Sacramento. And then Bobby Brown, look, I know everybody likes him, but if Bobby Brown can't get minutes even in this scenario, then it's pretty obvious that Mike D'Antoni does not trust him as a rotation player. So you have to move on, see what your next plans are. And if Chris Paul's going to be back, and if this is behind him, then no, it's not really a need. It's just something to keep in the back of your mind, because if he's not, then yes, that is a spot that the Rockets could conceivably upgrade. That's the kind of the last thing I'll say about this, because yeah, going forward, I know everyone wants to know about the status of Chris Paul. My instinct is that he'll sit Saturday too, because if it's almost a week after that knee bump and it still wasn't cleared up, and really wasn't even that close to cleared up when you look at how he was limping a lot of the time on Tuesday in Golden State, then I'd be surprised if it's just one game up off to really clear that up. And the Rockets in October, they don't want this to linger. It's about, at this point of the year, getting fully healthy, because there are going to be bumps and bruises over the course of a season, and you don't want something that happened way back in October to be added onto the whole other issues that are going to happen over the next 80 games. So I would be a little surprised if he played Wednesday as well. Based on what I've heard, I would be cautiously optimistic that he debuts on Monday night. But in case he somehow is not ready by then yes, I do think the Rockets should maybe start paying attention to that wire, some of the names out there as far as potential additions. And even if it might creep them closer to the luxury tax, there are some moves you can make at the deadline to still give yourself a little bit more wiggle room if it turns out there's a buyout candidate that you want to pursue at a later date. But again, these are small-time concerns. That's the thing to keep in mind, is that, you know, the Rockets are 2-0. We're nitpicking for concerns when I say this. We're talking about 10 minutes a game off the freaking bench. This, you know, these are good problems. These are the problems that you have when you're one of the West's better teams, really, in my opinion, the second-best team in the NBA. And by the way, the second-best team in the NBA with a win over the first-best team, or perceived first-best team, in Golden State. So Rockets fans, be thankful. You could have much bigger problems than this. Just felt compelled to address it because, yeah, if it goes on much longer, you may need a better third guard than Demetrius Jackson or Bobby Brown. But hope for the best. The Rockets, I believe Thursday's going to be an off day because they had a long, long plane flight back last night. But I think they'll be back in action practicing tomorrow, Friday, at Toyota Center. And so we'll get to ask more questions then to Chris, to head coach Mike D'Antoni, and see what the status is moving forward there. But until then, I think it's time for all of us to get some rest. It's been two very late nights for us with the Rockets out on the West Coast for the season. So hopefully everybody can kind of catch up, catch their breath on Thursday before getting back at it this weekend when the Dallas Mavericks come to town. And also the Astros have Game 6 and hopefully Game 7 of their series at home this weekend as well. So until then, I will wrap things right there. As always, this is Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. Thanks to you guys for listening. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, please do at Locked On Rockets, or me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program. Once again, happy final from Sacramento. Rockets 105, Kings 100. Rockets now 2-0 on the year, heading into their season opener, their home opener, on Saturday night against the rival Dallas Mavericks. Look forward to talking with you guys again then.